indeed, as the children of God, are camping toward Canaan's land. And we are equating Canaan's land to heaven. We think in terms of the children of Israel that were delivered from Egypt and the accompanying bondage thereof. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. They wandered in the wilderness. Eventually, they crossed the Jordan River. And upon crossing the Jordan River, they entered into the promised land. Sometimes we analogize the Christian life when we leave the bondage of sin through obedience to the gospel involving repentance of sins and baptism for the remission of sins. That is similar to the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going through the Red Sea. Now, Paul likens this experience of going through the sea to a baptism. It is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as the baptism of Moses. As they made their way toward the land of Canaan, when they finally crossed the Jordan River, they were then enabled to go to the promised land. In the analogy that is frequently made with Christians and the children of Israel, the Jordan River has come to be representative of death. And before Christians can finally enter the promised land of Canaan, it is necessary to cross the Jordan River. So we speak of braving the chilly tide of Jordan, going through the death experience that we might be able to enter the promised land. And I think that is a meaningful analogy. We recognize that not everybody will die the physical death in this world. But everyone will, as Christians, will experience a reasonable facsimile thereof. Paul says that we shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So you have to undergo that transformation in order to eventually go to the promised land, which is heaven, which is the same thing basically as experiencing death. I just wanted to mention that. We appreciate Brother Brown for leading us in our singing this evening. We appreciate all of you for following along with him in meaningful harmony. It's good to be back this evening as we continue our worship service for this Lord's Day, and as we conclude our worship for this Lord's Day. We invite your attention to the scripture lesson that was read, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. We covered a number of points in our lesson this morning, and we'd like to continue and conclude this lesson by making a final point that I trust you will be able to find to be meaningful and that you will find to be helpful. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to just read verses 2 through 4. Please follow along with us, if you will. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. I'd like to briefly read this same passage from the Amplified Bible for your consideration and thoughtful contemplation. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 from the Amplified Bible. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion, greetings, rejoice. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. James indicates, as we mentioned in our lesson this morning, the fact that trials and tribulations, difficulties and challenges, that they inevitably will come, that they are a fact of life. You may as well get ready for them. We can expect them. If I were to tell you that once you become a Christian, you are no longer going to face trials, tribulations, troubles, or temptations, I would be speaking from a closed Bible and from an empty head. We recognize the validity of the affirmation of Job. In Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Doesn't make any difference who you are. You're going to face troubles, trials, tribulations, and temptations of life. You're going to be faced with various tests. As we talked about the forms of temptation, tests that are designed by God to help us to stand, tests that are allowed by God, sent by Satan to cause us to stumble and cause us to fall. The temptations or solicitations to sin sent by the devil are designed to make us miserable. The various tests, trials, tribulations, difficulties, and challenges of life are designed by God to mature us, not to make us miserable. So we're going to continue our study of this lesson today, as we recognize and have indelibly impressed upon our minds that temptations, whether they're sent by God or sent by Satan and allowed by God, that temptations are unavoidable. Temptations are universal. Temptations of various kinds are inevitable. We need to recognize that temptation will not be removed by conversion or lessened by consecration. And we need to also recognize, as we talk about the facing of temptation, we need to recognize that temptation, insofar as solicitation to sin, temptation is not a sin. If temptation in and of itself is a sin, then Jesus was a sinner. Jesus was tempted in all manner like we are tempted, but Jesus never did sin. And we sing the song, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." That's where the sin comes in, when we yield to temptation, when we give in, then we sin. But temptation in and of itself is not a sin. And we need to keep this in mind. This will help us to face temptation and to deal with the force of temptation. We are going to be tempted, but we need to recognize that there is value in temptation, whether we are speaking in terms of solicitation or enticement to sin, or whether we are speaking of various trials that God sends us. There are benefits in being faced with temptations of whatever kind they might be. Sometimes when things happen to us, sometimes when we face the various trials and the various vicissitudes of life, we begin to question ourselves, and sometimes we'll ask the question, what did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? Where did I get off track? Where did I go wrong to cause this to come upon me? You might not have gone wrong anywhere, or in any particular way. You might not have gone wrong. You might lead a holy, a consecrated, a dedicated, a committed life as a Christian, and still temptations, insofar as trials and tribulations are concerned, can come your way. And that might be baffling to us. As a matter of fact, it is a cause of bafflement and perplexity by many individuals as they inventory themselves to try to find out, why did this happen to me? Why am I experiencing this? Did I do something wrong? Well, in reality, God can use various trials and various tribulations, not to make us bitter, but in an effort to make us better. And we're going to look at some of the fruit of temptation in just a little bit. As we talk about the fruit of temptation and the benefits that can be derived from, or that can result from temptation, we want to mention basically four things. The first one is a fruit of temptation, and this might sound strange. A fruit of temptation is enjoyment. You should back up. Wait a minute. What do you mean a fruit of temptation is enjoyment? I mean exactly the same thing that James meant when he affirmed that in verse number 2. Notice he says, and he's speaking generically, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Count it all joy. That just seems backwards to us. That seems irrational to us. That does not resonate with our perception of reality. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. So the first fruit we have under consideration is enjoyment. And how in the world can this be true? How can we experience any joy? Well, when you have an understanding and a concept of the overriding direction and superintendence and surveillance of God, and when you keep in mind the purpose God has for sending temptations our way, and when you keep in mind the benefits that can be yours as a result of going through various trials and temptations in life, you can count it joy because you are cognizant, are aware of the end product of temptation. When we consider some other pertinent passages in the Bible about this particular subject, there is no better example than Jesus Christ, our Lord, and how he faced temptations and how he faced the various trials of life. And he was able to face his challenges. Now you might say, well, he was God. Well, I know he was God. But not only was he God, he was also man. He was made like unto his brethren, and he was tempted in all manner like as we are. He was fully God, and yet he was fully man. So Jesus Christ experienced anything basically that we can experience individual human beings. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The apostle here, I believe that Paul did write Hebrews, starting with verse number 1, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Now, this word patience is the same basically as the word patience used in James chapter 1. That is endurance, steadfastness. Let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Now, I want you to particularly focus attention on verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He was able to consider and focus attention on the end product, on the end result. So he says, with reference to Jesus, he describes him as one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Like we are called upon when we face various tests or trials or tribulations in life, we are to count it joy, and we can count it joy like Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he was enabled to endure the cross. This was the severest test ever faced by any man. Job went through some things, but Job survived. Jesus did not survive insofar as avoiding death was concerned. Jesus, in this severest of all tests, when he experienced the excruciating pain and anguish and agony accompanying his execution on the old rugged cross, Jesus was able to endure. Jesus had to experience the shame that was accompanying this particular form of execution. And he could keep in mind, while he was experiencing his crucifixion, he could keep in mind the joy that would result from him enduring this very challenging and very strict and very severe and very savage test that he had to pass. Jesus endured. We can endure because we too can keep in mind the end result of the severe tests that we find ourselves encapsulated in. That might sound very difficult, sound very challenging, but if you know what the end result is going to be, you can experience a kind of prerequisite joy. You can claim future joy in your present sorrow. You can claim and experience future victory in your current state of seeming defeat. You can experience the positive outcome in the present negative situation in life. Remember, faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if we know what is going to happen, if we are tethered to the future through hope, which is described as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, we can endure what we are currently experiencing in our difficult challenges of life. We have a number of mamas in here today, and all of us are here because of our mamas. And I'm told, and I have it on good evidence, that having a child, giving birth to a baby and going through the accompanying labor pains can be very disconcerting, to say the least, can be very painful, can cause some measure of excruciating pain. Is that right, ladies? Those of you who are mamas, is it true that having a child can be very painful? But once the child is born, and even in anticipation of the birth of the child, you think about that little young'un that's going to come into the world and that you're going to be privileged to love and to train and to take care of and monitor and mold and motivate and help mature. You can experience, even as the labor pains begin to kick in, you can experience a measure of joy because you understand what the end result is going to be. Weeping, as the psalmist exclaims, may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's why James says, count it or reckon it or consider it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, because you have an understanding of what the end result might be. Not only that, but we'd like for you to consider, as a fruit of temptation, not just enjoyment, but also endurance. That's what the word here, patience signifies, endurance, steadfastness, toughness, and the spirit that enables you to hang in there. God allows some tests in our lives to help strengthen us, to help develop endurance in our lives, to help us become more steadfast and more devoted in our commitment to live for Him. It's designed to build us, not to break us. Designed to uplift us and not depress us. It depends upon our perspective. And when we see things from God's perspective, it helps to clarify our perspective, and it helps us to have a clearer view of the end result and of the blessing and the joy that comes in the morning. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that is endurance, steadfastness. But not only is enjoyment a fruit of temptation and endurance a fruit of temptation, but also enlargement is a fruit of temptation. But let patience or endurance and steadfastness have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Now, some people feel like when you see the term perfect, that means sinless perfection, but that's not the case. The term perfect is from, I believe, the Greek word teleos. It means mature. It means complete. And James here says, the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance, and then endurance may have her perfect work. This helps us when we develop endurance. It helps us to mature. It helps us to become complete. It doesn't help us to become sinless. This perfection is talking about maturity. It is talking about completeness. And as we think about this particular fact, we can consider something about Jesus from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for, notice, the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And verse number 10, pay particularly close attention to the affirmation of the Hebrew writer. He says, for it became him, that is Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make, notice now, the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ became complete for the process and for the assignment of redemption through suffering. He, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through suffering. That does not mean that he was made sinless through suffering. He was already sinless. When you say Christ was made perfect, that did not mean he was made sinless. He was already sinless. And when he speaks of us being made perfect, it does not mean that we're going to be made sinless. Have you ever seen a very beautiful rose, and you look at that rose and it's bright, beautiful, captivating color, and you say, man, that's a perfect rose. Are you meaning that that's a sinless rose? By no means. You're talking about its completeness. You're talking about its maturity. You're talking about all that goes into making a rose. So that end product is what God designed for a rose. Also, we can think in terms, another example of perfection or teleos, we can think in terms of the mighty oak. You know, the mighty oak was once just a little nut, just an acorn, but it has achieved full maturity, completion, and perfection because God designed it to reach that particular state of maturity. And God wants us to also become mature. And frequently, he uses trials and tribulations and various tests of life to help us to mature and become all that God designed us to be. So we think in terms of enjoyment, endurance, enlargement, or perfection, maturity. And then finally, as a fruit of temptation, we think in terms of enrichment. Enrichment. Verse number 4, and we're fixing to close, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is mature, that you may be complete and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Isn't that wonderful? That you can have everything that you need and you don't have to be lacking in any spiritual essential. You can be entire and wanting nothing because You enjoy the fruit of enrichment, the fruit of enjoyment, the fruit of endurance, the fruit of enlargement, and finally the fruit of enrichment. Again, we'd like to encourage you to keep in mind the fact of temptation, the forms of temptation, the force of temptation. It can happen suddenly, it can happen severely, it can happen seriously, it can happen when you are the least expecting it. And the facing of temptation, and finally the fruit of temptation. There is tremendous value in temptation, whether they be trials and tribulations, difficulties, hardships, challenges, illnesses, bereavement, losses of various kinds, whatever you are called upon to experience, the Lord can use it to advance you forward. The Lord can use it to facilitate your spiritual growth and development, to develop endurance and steadfastness and maturity and completion and enrichment on a spiritual level. One thing I want to say just as I close, with reference to life and the various experiences that we find ourselves heir to in this world in which we live, notice, we are not responsible for everything that happens to us. Some things happen to us, we bear no responsibility at all for what happens to us. Now, we are responsible sometimes for some things that happen to us, but we are not responsible for everything that happens to us. But I do want you to be aware of the fact also that we are responsible for how we deal with everything that happens to us. You're not responsible for everything that happens to you, but you are responsible for how you react to everything that happens to you. And always remember that in the words of Paul in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purposes. May we realize the blessings of temptation, the value for our good of temptations. I'm going to ask Brother Brown if he will lead us our closing song. I know he had another one in mind, and he led this song, but it bears singing again, and that's from 473. I think we'll find it meaningful. And if there's anyone in the audience who would need to respond to the Lord's invitation and to respond to the Lord's invitation, whether you want to become a Christian by believing the gospel, repenting of sins, confessing your faith and being baptized, or by rededicating your life, recommitting your life through repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you just have a request for prayer that you want to make on behalf of your brothers and sisters, it is always appropriate for us to request prayer. So we're going to ask you to come, if you need to come, as we together stand and as we sing.
Tempted and tried, oft made to wonder why it should be thus, all the Father.